Good morning, good morning. Hope everyone's doing great today. Start with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I praise you and thank you so much for this time. Look at your word. You help me, Lord, to be ever mindful of your beautiful word, and I keep it close to my heart. And I'm always honoring you in the way I speak about you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Okay. Part three. Today we're going to cover day two through day four of the creation. That's in Genesis 1, 6 through 19. So, there's the verses and there's our opening picture. We're going to talk about the firmament. So, where's my... I want it over there. I want to block out a picture. Put it over here. Okay. Start in verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. So as we see, our world was a bit different here as it appears. We had a firmament of water, not only here on Earth, which covers about 70% of the planet's surface. We also had a firmament above, and you can see here where it says vapor canopy. Let me get my bigger pointer. Got to get it again. To be in shock the day that I remember. Okay, you got the earth, and you got the firmament on the water. And what he's saying here is he's dividing the water from the water. And so there's a vapor canopy that was around the earth at one point. And the beauty of that is, and this is probably what most scientists and most doctors and stuff will attest to, that people live so much longer then for a couple of factors. But one of the biggest one is this vapor canopy that was around the planet. Really blocked all the harmful UV radiation since the flood, that's what was used to flood the whole planet partially, plus what was already on the earth. And so that vapor canopy is partially why everybody seemed to live longer during that time frame, and they were healthier, a lot healthier. Those harmful UV rays is what kills us, and it causes us, and so that as that disappeared, that is partially why we die a lot sooner than they did back then. If you remember our little chart, let's see, do I have that one in here? Yeah, there it is. A little chart here, and you can see that starting in the beginning there, Adam, about 4,000 BC. And keep this in mind that he was 130 years old when he had his Seth. Now he did have Cain and Abel earlier than that, but this is the genealogy for Jesus. I'm not sure when he had Cain. When we get to that part, we'll talk about it. But it, you can see that, and he lived another 800 years and had more children. So he lived at a ripe old age of 930. And we'll get back to that time frame. The people that live during the millennium that are regular humans will be our new body. So we'll be living forever. But there will be still humans on the planet that have their sinful bodies like we do now. But they actually will live longer because the planet will be in better shape. And according to some of the things you read, that a person at 100 years old will be considered a baby. Or a young person. And so we'll be back to living longer because everything will be fixed. God's going to fix all the problems with the planet. Okay, so back to our little diagram. We'll leave that one there. So this is what's called the first. Heaven, as we talk about it. And so this vapor canopy was right at the edge of the first heaven. We're going to get into a little bit about the second and third heaven too today. The second heaven is where the stars and stuff are. And then the third heaven is heaven, where Jesus, where God and Jesus are right now. And yeah, and when we get to chapter 5, we'll talk a lot about that genealogy. But over in Proverbs 8:28, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, realize also before the flood, it did not rain. So this is not talking about rain clouds. We were seeing future lessons that that Eden had a mist of sorts that watered all the plants. Kind of like a God-made sprinkler system. And so it didn't rain back then yet. So that's the other thing that changed at the flood. That's part of the reason you see a rainbow. You see how you see this visible light over here? Part of the reason that you see the rainbow in different colors is that's light, visible light, as it's passing through the water molecules. It separates into the different colors of the rainbow. And pure light has all the colors in it. So that's why you see that. There are three heavens, as we talked about, and to confirm that, Paul mentions, well, first we're going to go to verse 8. So verse 8, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So all he did today is he did this firmament of heaven. But notice he said heaven. So this is the first heaven. The first heaven is where the birds fly, where, it's where we see. It's where rain comes from now. And then you go into the second heaven again, it's the first heaven. Second heaven is where the planets are, what outer space is, where the sun is, all that stuff. And then the third heaven, Paul's going to mention it here in 2 Corinthians 12, 2. He's talking about himself in the third person, so don't get too confused by his terminology. You ever hear anybody that does that? They talk about themselves in the third person. Like if it was me, I would be going, yeah, Dana said this and Dana said that. I'd be talking to myself like I was not me. And Paul did this kind of here also. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such as one caught up to the third heaven. So Paul actually went to the third heaven and saw heaven at one point. He goes on to explain it there in 2 Corinthians, what he saw, or what he couldn't describe. He said it was so, he felt he didn't have permission to say what he saw. I think God had a little briefing with him. He wanted to go over some things. And some other things, which he reached after passing through the first heaven, which is the air, and the second heaven, which is the stars, which we see over in Ephesians 4:10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. See there, it says all heavens, so it's talking about multiple heavens. Hebrews 7:26. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sin as it made higher than the heavens. Made higher than the heavens, for Christ passed through the heavens. And it basically is just talking about the aerial heaven. We see also in Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We know that happened during the ascension. Which I'm actually recording this before evening service on Wednesday. And I think that the pastor is going to talk about that ascension. And possibly the rapture tonight, so that'd be interesting. So the canopy was most believed the first and second heaven, like a layer of our atmosphere. That completed day two. And as an inventory, let's see, so far we've gone through 2 days, and so far we've only got, and I still believe that these are 24-hour days. And let's just talk about the definition of a day according to the Bible. It's a variable length of the natural day, all different seasons led in the very earliest times. So the adoption of the civil day, or one revolution of the sun, as a standard of time. The Hebrews reckon the day from evening to evening. That's in Leviticus 23:32. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at evening. But evening unto evening shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. And we also we derive this from Genesis 1:5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So you can see one period of daylight and one period of nighttime equals one day. So far, God has made the heavens and earth with light, and now water above and below the surface of the earth. So next we'll start talking about dry land. Going into Genesis 1:9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry air appear, and it was so. Like how he just speaks everything into place. That's a lot of power. That's the kind of power you don't mess with. Because it got some interesting verses about day three, like over in Job 26:10. He has compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end. That there is kind of pointing out to the fact that God has control over this whole thing. You're going to hear people start to try to say that, we got to protect the planet, that it's failing, and we're going to lose it. There's actually a verse, I think I might have it here, that Solomon mentions, that things are going to continue until God's done with the planet. And so even though we should take care of it, that's a proper thing to do, but it's not that anything in particular we're doing is going to cause it to end early, because God has a job for it, so he won't allow it to happen. Over in Job 38:8-12. A lot of interesting stuff in Job, because God actually talked to Job and gave him some insight into the creation. And here, this is that famous verse. I already showed you some of this area once before. This is when God was talking to Job, and he was talking in a question format, realizing that Job couldn't answer the questions, but it gives us a little insight as to the way God thinks and some of the things that he knows that we don't. So this is him speaking. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it break it forth, and as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the clouds the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swaddling for it. I believe that thick cloud is a garment. We're talking about that vapor canopy. I break up for you my decree place and set bars and doors. That's an interesting term, set bars and doors. I think there's actually natural ways he controls the water from not leaving where it's at. Realize that right now we are spinning. The earth is spinning at about, we make one revolution and one revolution in a day. And we're moving at it moves exactly 36,000 miles in one day. So you figure that out, if divide that by 24 hours, that probably comes out to over 1,000 miles an hour. The planet's moving. So how does the water stay in there? You take a glass of water and start moving it around a little bit, and it's going to splash out. So I think that's what that verse is kind of saying here, is that he sets the bars and the doors. He allows things stay in place, even though this planet is spinning. 38:11. And said, here through shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall the proud waves be stayed. That's what he's talking about, the waves stay with us, where they're put. As thou commanded the morning since the days, and caused the dayspring to know its place. Again, fountains of the deep kept in their place. Basically, God is giving Job a science quiz here. Going into verse Psalms now, 95:5. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Psalms 136, 5 through 9. To him that be wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretches out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, and for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. And the moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. I think his mercy is going to endure forever. This is David, of course, in this psalm. I'm going to bet that that was turned into a song at one point. I'll also go over to Proverbs. Let's see what Solomon has to say. Over in 8:28-29. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. Basically told the waters to stay put, and it did. What if most Christians can act that way? And definitely most non-Christians. Jumping over to the New Testament, this is in Jonah 1:9. Jonah knows a lot about the ocean. He spent a few days in it. And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord and the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. I'm now jumping in this New Testament, 2 Peter 3:5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Now we're going to go into verses 11 through 12, 10 through 12. We're going to talk about some plant life. So we got land now. We got water. We got sunlight, but we don't have the sun yet. We got light. We don't have the sun yet. Interesting thing going on here. I think at this point, God is actually the light until the sun actually takes over the job. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. Again, God saw that it was good. I don't think that he would say that if there was any evil on the earth. That's just my opinion, but I think that's why he kept repeating that, is to make sure we understood that his creation was perfect. There was nothing wrong with it. And so because Satan, we're going to get into that a little bit, because Satan is a created being, that the fact that he fell, I don't think it happened yet. So it'd be fun to try to see when exactly he fell. Maybe we can figure it out. But we do know that by Genesis 3:15, or by Genesis 3, he had already fallen. But we're going to kind of look at how long that was too, because no kids were born yet, and in that genealogy, we'll be able to see when Adam and Eve's first child was born. Maybe we can get an idea how long it was before, went about how long they had been on the planet before Satan achieved his goal. Okay, verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass and herb-eating seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. I want you to think about this for a minute. These are days, so in a few days, on day six, we're going to have humans. On day five, we're going to have animals. And they need something to eat. So I think we've solved the age-old question. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, obviously the chicken, because we needed the full-grown version before we had the seed. And I think that's what we're saying here. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself. So that the tree came first, and then the seed was inside the fruit. Because realize a tree, even an apple tree, I think it's like 10 to 12 years from planting an apple tree until it actually produces fruit. I'm going to look it up real quick. I meant to do it earlier. That's for Minnetok orchids and some of the other trees. Just found another one. Fruit trees purchased from nurseries and garden centers are usually 1 to 2 years old already. The length of time from planting to fruit bearing varies with the species of the fruit. Now let's look at it. They got a few here. The average bearing age of fruit trees is as follows. Apple, 4 to 5 years. Cherries, 3 to 5 years. Pears, 4 to 6 years. A plum, 3 to 5 years. That'll get you an idea that God had to produce these plants full grown to provide fruit. And so that I think that we solved the issue of who came first, the chicken or the egg. Because we had to have the chicken to lay the egg. If you had the egg first, then the egg didn't have anybody to fertilize it to make another chicken. Anyways, you got the idea. So what else do I want to say about this one? And the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself, okay, after his kind, and God saw that it was good. So again, I just kind of mentioned the same thing, so that I think it's important to realize too that we have fruit here, okay, and if these days were not 24-hour days, so just kind of speculate a little bit. Let's just say they were years, okay, that each day was a year. Well, first you had light, but no sun yet. And you know, the plant needs light. A plant needs three things in order to grow. It needs earth. Okay, we had the earth right here, which was today. Okay, we need sunlight. Not just light, but sunlight. And sunlight ain't coming until tomorrow. We need water, and we got water already. And we need carbon dioxide to produce perform photosynthesis and actually feed itself and produce fruit. And the carbon dioxide comes from us and the animals. And the animals and us aren't there yet either. So if let's say that each day was a year, well, that plant would probably die because it didn't have all it needed to survive. And the same idea is if it had been planted seeds first, then it would take 4 to 5 years before it produced fruit, and we would die of starvation. I think the quickest thing that you could probably grow to eat would be wheat. And I think wheat takes about, we were just talking about that in Ruth. Let's see, they planted in September, I think it was September, October, and they harvest in April. So you're talking about 6 months waiting for food. I think we'd be really, really hungry by then if we had to wait for it to grow first. So you get what I'm driving at, is that all these things are dependent on each other. And so I just can't see anything other than 24-hour days. Never mind trying to put millions of years in there like they try to say, that evolution tries to say. Now, God's providing the light at the moment, but we still don't have a sun. And so just a few verses on this subject in Psalms 104, 14 through 17. He caused the grass to grow for the cattle and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth fruit out of the earth. And the wine that made glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengthened man's heart. And the trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted. Where the birds make their nests, as for the stork, the fir trees are her house. So again, Psalms here, David is kind of reflecting back on the different things that God had produced. Also in Psalms 147, verse 8. Who covereth the heaven with clouds? Who prepareth rain for the earth? Who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains? In other words, without all these things, there's no way that life could be sustained. And so it blows evolution right out of the water. If you have to wait millions of years for the next step to take place, then how does that step survive until the next step? That's basically what I'm saying. Okay, so verse 13, and the evening and the morning were the third day. So 3 days down. And we'll head into day 4. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let there be signs for seasons and for days and for years. Okay, now we're going to be producing the light. This is the sun. Now we're in Psalms 104:19. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Verse 15. And let them be for lights in the firmament for of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. So this is when the this is day four, is when all this stuff was made. So you can see, going back to my point, you can still see that even though light was developed on day one, this is in Genesis 1:1, you remember, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So heaven is almost singular there. It doesn't mean the stars. It doesn't mean the sun. None of that stuff was produced. That only thing that was produced was the planet Earth. It was out form and void, and the heaven. And heaven is where, they, and probably most likely the angels and everything were made during verse 1 here, because the angels actually watched the creation of man take place. And one other place we'll kind of look at this over in, let's look at my notes here. We see right here that we're, we were made, not revealed or uncovered. There's people that try to say that the sun was made in verse 1, but that here is when it was uncovered. But you'll notice that the verse says, and God made the two great lights. So he actually created them here in verse 16, not verse 1. So for me, I'm still in a 6-24-hour day creation list. And also note that the stars were created. So for me, the reference in verse 1 is of the third heaven, which includes the angels. On that note, we also know the angels watched God create earth. And we see that in Job 38:4-7. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched a line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations that are fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So right there, what we're talking about there is angels. Those are some other terms for angels. And we'll get into that when we get into Genesis 6:15. I'm going to make note of that because you're going to see a couple other places in Job where it comments about these sons of God. Sons of God in the Old Testament is almost all, it's always referenced to angels. Now, it does say in the New Testament that we, as believers in Christ, can become sons of God by inheritance. That's based on the fact that as we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we become heirs under Him. And that's how we become adopted as sons of God. We're not actually sons of God. All sons of God were created beings, except for the true Son of God. And that one, you see, always see it with a capital S on son. And it's not pluralized. It's only one. It just says Son of God. So I'll just point those out while we're here. And continuing, verse 17. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. So now photosynthesis can happen. Now the trees can reproduce themselves and produce sugars, produce the fruit. And but we still don't have humans yet, so there's no carbon dioxide. So they're not quite there yet. But I think God just placed the whole plant there with the fruit on it. And so to make the next set of fruits for the next season, we're going to need humans. And to rule over day and over night and to provide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. But almost done. It's got a little comment here on this. I might also point out here for those who are concerned the planet is going to self-destruct soon. We have God's promise in Genesis 8:22, and I meant to put it in here. Let me grab it real quick. I want to show that. Okay. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Okay, that's God's promise. And jumping down to Genesis 9:13, I did set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. That's his guarantee of a promise. So as long as you keep seeing the rainbow in the sky after a good rainstorm, that's a promise from God that he will not destroy the earth again. And I think it's really interesting, too, that I just wanted to show these other two verses in Job that God also mentions a couple of things that were not. And realize Job is the first book of the Bible. So we're talking about this was written about 3000 B.C. And then most of the things that God is saying here were not discovered until the modern time frames with modern telescopes. But if you listen to these terms, it baffles most scientists to realize that these were in the Bible, because they didn't discover a lot of this stuff until they actually started studying the stars. Canst thou bind the sweet influence of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? These are stars and how they interact with each other. And a lot of these things you can't see without a telescope. And so that the kind of confirmation that God definitely designed them, since he's the one that knew about them. And we didn't find out about them by another source until much later. So that's where I'm going to end today. Let's say a prayer. Oh, thank you, Lord, so much. Such a beautiful planet you've designed and given us, Lord. And I know it's not even half of what it should be, what it was like this in this day of Eden. So I'm so looking forward to seeing it back to normal, and when we get to the Millennium Kingdom. Looking forward to that day so much, Lord, and thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I will talk to you guys later, and I hope you have a great day.